In this podcast, we're going to make a single molecule of TNT, that explosive used in all the movies, TNT. But we're also going to tell you the story of the exploding pants that launched an era of chemistry which led to explosives like TNT. This is Peter Hill Explains, where we enter into a conversation about science. I get to practice podcasting as part of my rehabilitation and putting ideas together, and you get to struggle listening to me, perhaps getting some ideas, perhaps looking things up in books and the internet. That's the idea of a conversation. A conversation doesn't end, it's sort of the beginning of learning and understanding. So first off, when we're talking about things, we have to look at the chemical processes which make things, and we're going to follow you through TNT manufacture, and we're going to follow you through a well and tried and tested process which was discovered rather by accident. There was a worker in a chemical factory, yes, a German chemical factory, and he was working in the manufacture of nitric acid. This is quite a vicious little acid. This is HNO3. It's quite a powerful acid, and it's used in making many chemicals. But he was just making the acid. He moved over to the sulfuric acid factory, and all the time this acid would splat on his pants, and so his pants were variously treated accidentally with splashes of nitric acid and sulfuric acid. This is occupational health and safety. It's probably not that strong in 1840s or something like that. And so by and by, he said, "Honey, my pants have to be cleaned." And so he was in a little worker's hut with his wife there by the fire. Fire pants and some of that. So she dutifully washed his pants and put them in front of the fire to dry out. I know if you can understand. And she was outside the house when the house blew up. It just blew completely up. And of course, in most places, they wouldn't be, "Oh my goodness, the house is blown up. I wonder what's happened." But this house, being near a chemical factory, they were very fascinated. And they examined and said, "What have you done? How's this produced?" Because before this time, it's gunpowder. Gunpowder relied on collecting the urine of Frenchmen. That's why it's a pretty amazing thing they collected saltpeter. And so this is the nitrate used to be collected from urine, but this one is pretty amazing. Pants now featured again. And so they went back. They discovered this fundamental process that if you treated something with nitric acid and sulfuric acid, the sulfuric acid ripped out the water, the nitric acid bound the nitrogen, nitrates, NO2, NO3 is the nitric acid, but it actually bound the nitric stuff directly into the actual molecule. So if you come to think of it, gunpowder is where the chemicals are all separate, mixed together. Explosives like TNT, the nitrates are actually chemically bound into each individual atom. So this is why TNT is fantastic. For many years, people had gun cotton, smokeless gun cotton, and it's developed over many years to replace gunpowder, which had to be held in pouches and poured down. They had now this stuff which you could pull out and like cotton wool, and actually stuff down the bottom of your barrel, your musket, and ignite this. And this would be much more convenient, apparently. Gun cotton. So they developed gun cotton on this person's pants. And as they got the general process of it, getting a pair of pants, getting nitric acid and sulfuric acid, they began to search for better ways for doing it. And we're going to skip a whole lot of history and actually talk you through the paper plate, silver foil, textures, a bit of You can use pipe cleaners, or I've just found some electrical tape which I'd sort of like to use to make a molecule. So you're just going to make a basic molecule. And so we're going to go straight ahead and actually make a molecule. It's going to be fairly simple. And we're going to start off with getting a paper plate. So we're into the molecule making. You're going to get your paper plate. And I'll just tell you the reason that you're doing it this way is that there's less mental load in your head, because you make the paper plate and it's structured there in your head, so hopefully this is less mental load to build. So you get your paper plate. Your paper plate's going to make your benzene molecule, and benzene is a circle, a hexagon of six carbons. So I want you to draw with your texture on your paper plate hexagon, and the vertices, I want you to number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six atoms there. And what I also want you to do is get your scissors out and cut out that hexagon of your paper plate. And there's two things. If you find it too messy and too hard, just don't do it. Just imagine it. Because that's part of the deal. You imagining it stores the information in. Now, between the 1 and 2, I want you to draw a second line, and 3 and 4, and 5 and 6, I want you to draw these double bonds. Now, they're actually not double bonds. There's sort of another way of drawing it. You do that on one side, then on the other side of your paper plate, just draw a dotted line, a dotted circle on the inside, because if you have the double line, that's the school book old way of doing it. The new way of drawing the bonds on the inside, there is to say it's a pi orbital, it's a circle. In fact, that's closer to what it actually is. So what's happening is that generally carbon has three bonds, it has four bonds with it. It's got six protons in the center. Its inner shell's got two. The outer shell's got four. The shell capacity on the outside, outer shell, is eight. And you may not follow this unless you've been drilled it in school chemistry. But carbon's got a potential for four bonds. But in benzene, the fourth bond is sort of shared as a sort of quasi double bond, sort of half bond. Between it. So you have 3 electrons, net 3 electrons, spare in two double bonds. It's hard to describe it. But there you go, you've got a benzene molecule, and we're being cheap here. We're actually not going to leave out the hydrogen molecules, and that's what chemists do. Hydrogens are just so common and so fussy that you can just imagine them there. And so this is one of the problems that you have a structural diagram unless you've been trained in structural. So structural diagrams are those little sticks and letters together, those little lines and sticks together. Do you know that coffee cup where it's got caffeine and they draw that little C's and various things there? That's the molecule of caffeine. It's a structural diagram. We leave out the hydrogens. In this molecule, we're going to leave out the hydrogens as well. It's not too many on it. And so six hydrogens on the outside and six carbons on the inside. It's a fairly flat molecule. It's this sort of where we're used to organic molecules all zigzagging and twisting and being pretty floppy type of stuff. And this is a sort of a rigid six carbon atom super molecule benzene. And we're going to get up to, we're not ready quite ready, we'll go up to the next thing of making a carbon atom, sorry, a methane atom in actual fact. And how we're going to do it is that we're going to get two strips of aluminium foil, rolled up bits of aluminium foil, so it's fairly thick, and make it about 10 centimeters long each. And one facing up and down, the other one left and right at a cross. And so they're cross, it's a cross of aluminium foil. And up in the center of that, we will lash some a black pipe cleaner or some black duct tape. Depends what you've got available. I have got some black duct tape up here, so I might show you eventually on YouTube when I get round to it after I've done enough podcasts to simplify it. And so what we have here, so you get that little thing up, and you have something, an X with silver foil. Now you can actually adjust that silver foil, point three of the legs down, one leg up, until it forms a pyramid. In that pyramid shape, you've made yourself a methane. It's carbon on the inside, and the little silver foil we're going to have, if it ends in nothing, it's got a hydrogen on the end of it. If it sticks something else, it's a bond. But there you've got yourself a little methane, a little carbon in the center and little hydrogens on the outside of a tetrahedral triangular pyramid. Now, what we're going to do, we want to fuss around with it. You can play, be very proud. You've made yourself a benzene and a methane. And what you're going to do is you're going to staple that to atom number one on your benzene ring and have a look at it. And it looks rather nice. It looks like a bit of a wedding ring there, your ring, and on the top of it, a methane. So the hydrogens, both the two hydrogens have been removed, one from the benzene ring, one from the methane, and it's stuck together. And that, my friends, is called a toluene. And again, very carcinogenic. Well, not too carcinogenic, but I saw a friend of mine in British Aerospace cleaning optics and toluene. He just stuck his hand into toluene. I just couldn't. Once something's carcinogenic, even a little bit carcinogenic, I just have got nothing to do with it. Okay, so toluene, a nice solvent. I think people can smell toluene. I couldn't tell you what the smell of toluene is off the top of my head. I think if you can't smell it, you've had too much of it. It's a bit like I used to not be able to smell acetone because I had to smell too much of acetone. So I've knocked my smell out. Okay, so we've got toluene, and we have to nitrate the toluene, and we're going to, this is very involved. The first thing is you put it in mild sulfuric acid and mild nitric acid, and that forms a nitration. I think the first nitration is on carbon number four at the base, and so we have to form a nitrogen with two oxygens on it. Now this is where your schoolbook chemistry is a little bit lacking, okay, because nitrogen forms a has three bonds coming out of it. That's because it's got one extra electron, so there's, to make up a full shell of eight, there's only three available, because it's got five electrons. So it's got an electron pair sticking up above, and it can form methane, which is NH3. That's what we're going to make up first. We're going to make NH3, and then we're going to have to do a bit of hand waving here. So what you do is you get aluminium foil, those two strips together, and what you're going to do is you're going to twist half the first, hold them parallel, twist the first halfway from the left hand side into the center, and then pull the remaining part apart till you make a Y shaped. I don't know if you can do that. And on the top of the Y shape, you put your either blue pipe cleaner or a bit of blue electrical tape, and you've made yourself a nitrogen atom, and there's hydrogens on the end of that. You've made yourself an ammonia. That's NH3. Now you're going to make a nitrate ion, and so what you'll do is you'll for that one there, we're going to do this fairly quickly. You're just going to put some I don't know how you can quite really do this realistically, but you'll put a piece of red popcorn cleaner at the end of two of those three bonds coming out of the nitrogen, and you put a red on two of those, and that will be your nitrate ion, and you will staple that to initially to atom number four. And you've got MTNT, mono nitro toluene. And of course, you can imagine that we're going to increase this, do this same basic step twice. So you've got your plate. On the top of the plate, you've got a carbon with three hydrogens. On the bottom of the plate, you've got a nitrogen with two oxygens. Now, oxygen has a double bond, so this is a bit hard to get your mind around. The actual oxygen takes two bits of silver foil, and really, there's an imaginary piece of silver foil stretching across, bouncing off the nitrogen, and going across to the other oxygen. So it's got a lot of bonds in it, and it's quite obviously quite explosive. And so this is the nitrate in gunpowder. It's actually been stuck directly on your carbon, ready to go. And so you've got your mono nitro toluene, and then that's in moderate acid. And then you get really powerful acids. This is fuming nitric acid and fuming sulfuric acid, and you repeat this process again, and either on the 2 or the 5 you will put another nitrate. So you'll get dinitrotoluene, DNT, so you get MNT, DNT, and then the next step, you put it on absolutely s top of the range nitric acid, and something called the modern name is the ancient name is oleum, or the modern name is disulfuric acid. It's, let me see, H2S2O7. This is one very mean acid. It's so acidic, there's no water in it whatsoever. So it's an acid with no water. And it's a solid. You have to heat it up a little bit. It's a disaster stuff. And then you put the nitrogen in that, and that makes TNT. And so you staple another nitrate up to the outside there. And so each nitrate has two oxygens, a nitrogen, and stuck onto the benzene. And there you've made yourself a TNT molecule. Of course, you can actually go into the internet and actually see that by typing, I think, as easy as if you want to see any three-dimensional molecule on the internet, you just type the following letters: J mol, JavaScript molecule, J mol, and then I think TNT might be enough, or you might have to do trinitrotoluene. But it's a pretty amazing molecule, and the aim of this particular podcast is just to develop the technique of actually making a simple molecule. And do you learn more by actually stepping through and actually making the molecule in your head, where you slow down and think about it? Do you learn more chemistry doing it? Perhaps, perhaps not. But there are some chemicals which are complex, which are worthwhile actually investing in doing it. So I hope you enjoyed that. In the meantime, obviously you've been thinking SARS, and also doing the science, whether you've actually physically done that or imagined you've done that. You've sort of thought by doing the actual science. And finally, teach science. Thanks for listening.